comment
to our discussion of ovens, which is microwave ovens. There's a big tzad to say that microwave ovens are worse than regular ovens. Even if you're going to be makel with regular ovens, or however much you're going to be makel with regular ovens, microwave ovens are definitely more of a problem than regular ovens. For two main reasons. Number one, they're very small spaces, unlike regular ovens. The smaller the space, the more it is, perhaps like kisui kedeira. And number two, the way microwaves work is they produce more steam than regular ovens because they only heat the water molecules, right? These microwaves only heat the water molecules in your food, so they produce more steam than normal, old-fashioned, traditional cooking does. So even if you're makel, I think when we asked Rav Schechter, if I recall correctly, when Rav Schechter was here, he was makel on regular ovens, as we discussed 2 days ago. But he was machmir on microwave ovens for these reasons. And even though there are some people who want to say it's sad the other way on microwave ovens, which is that microwave ovens are dafka no problem because since only the water molecules get hot, the walls of the microwave oven never get hot. And so the zeya created by your food might be cold hitting the cold walls of the ovens. There'll be no bli into the walls of the oven. But I did a few experiments, and it seems like, no, I mean, there's so much zeya. The zeya is the actual lettuce bowl when it hits the wall of the microwave oven. So it can cause a bli. Because even though the oven walls are cold, the zeya is hot. Not only that, if you cook some, you know, heat something up for 2-3 minutes, then the walls also get very hot from all the zeya touching them. So it does seem that there is an exchange of time between the zeya and the walls of the oven, in which case you have much more of a problem than regular ovens because you have a lot of zeya and it's a smaller space. So even those who are making legambre, like Rav Schechter, by regular ovens, I'd be very nervous being making legambre by microwave ovens because there are significant differences which might change the equation. Many people recommend to just cover things in the microwave oven, and that solves the problem. What I really wanted to say that if you use, you ever see those microwave covers? So apparently, the microwave covers are there for cleanliness and not for kosherness. But what they are is these big plastic things that go over the plate that have little holes for the steam to escape. So what I really wanted to say, if you use the microwave covers, then that's okay. You can use the same microwave for milk and clay shake, even if you don't seal it hermetically. As long as you use these covers, and you know, which are mostly sealing it with just little holes for the steam to escape, which is considered safe. His svara was that if only a little steam escapes, then it won't be hot outside that cover. I did some experiments. I saw that it still was hot, even if the steam escaped outside the cover. But I still think that there's a lot of logic behind this idea of the microwave covers. Because it could be that even if you hold that the zeya will not only bring the taste of what you're cooking to the walls of the microwave, but will bring the taste of the walls of the microwave back to what you're cooking, that might only be if the zeya is at least one straight unbroken stream that's free to like fly around. If the zeya has to go through a little hole and only a little bit escapes and then starts expanding in the oven, then there's certainly it's hard to say that it won't be mechaber your food to the walls of the oven and bring the tatam back. Certainly, you won't have a problem of it condensing on the roof and dripping down at your food because the food's covered on top, just as a few holes on the side. So, lechora, there is, you know, in my personal sphere, I would say if you're making legamri by a regular oven, then you could certainly be making with a microwave cover by a microwave oven because whatever steam gets out of those little holes in a microwave oven is probably going to be no worse than cooking in a regular oven. If you're machmir like Ramosh in a regular oven, there are, well, it still says the microwave covers are okay. And I wasn't 100%, convinced. Bit of a tzarchi. And it's probably, you know, if you can buy two of something, it's probably much better to buy two microwave ovens than two regular ovens. A, because it's much easier. They're very small. Even in a gross kitchen, you could fit two microwave ovens if you're creative. And they're very cheap. I mean, a microwave oven costs, you know, about as much as, you know, going out with your wife to a nice restaurant nowadays. So go out with your wife to a nice restaurant one time fewer and get a microwave oven. While a real oven Roast ovens cost more money. And it's not a crazy idea. If not, you could kasher the microwave oven. Everyone knows this besorah, you kasher it through boiling the water. And if you kasher between meat and milk, then that's another side. Another way to be makel.
Just using the covers might not be enough if you're covering the floor of the microwave.
Right, that's the problem. The covers only work if you use a big plate. So then the cover sits on the plate. If you use a small plate and the cover sits on the wall of the microwave, then the wall of the microwave is still inside there with your food. So the covers really, they're intended for putting on big plates. The covers, the chor, only work if you put them on a big plate.
Is it the rule that you cover everything, or does cover one have designated use for the other?
I don't remember, but I assume just have a designated use and cover the other one. Right, the chor you should be able to, just like an oven, use it for milchik and cover the fleishik or vice versa.
No, because even if you cover one, some of it is going to go out and is going to get into the walls, and then when you uncover the other one, it's going to be hevel, and then it will come right out when you cover
the You mean if you use the microwave covers?
Well, if you only use one.
Not if you cover it hermetic.
Right.
If you use the microwave covers, then there's always going to be enough steam that escapes. Maybe you should use both ways. If you hermetically seal one thing, then you should be okay. Again, you have to be very careful how to open it when you're ready to eat it, so you don't get burned. But okay, so you'll be careful.
In terms of kashering, so our first brings in that perhaps for Ashkenazim, since we hold the Rosh Hashmisha, so might not work in case someone splattered on your walls, then it would require mamash yiroi, not just zeh, and therefore you should rely on boiling the water.
So the force wants to say, since things do splatter in microwaves, that is true, no? Then you should, since things splatter in microwave and we don't rely on Rov Tashmisho, all else being equal, we don't even rely on Rov Tashmisho for a Teira Bala, Ashkenazi? For Pesach, what? For Pesach, do we rely on Rov Tashmisho?
It's by Hilchos Pesach.
What? Only video. All right, so I mean, it might be sad to say that we could be so mechir on Rov Tashmisho, since there is it sad to say that the Zeh is not a problem anyway. I mean, there is it sad to say that the Zeh is not a problem. So it could be that, you know, there'd be not to mention that things don't splatter all the time. So if things haven't splattered very recently, it's Einu Ben Yombo, and there's sad to say that Zeh is not a problem anyway, maybe you could rely on Rov Tashmisho. That's certainly the minig olam. I think that's a good goal. I saw someone also want to say it's a problem that what if things splatter where you put your plate down? So what if something splattered on that glass dish and then you put your plate down, your milk plate down where flesh thing splattered? But I mean, as long as you wiped it up, in kli, right? In kli yields to be kli the kli without rotev, and even though the must is lachila, you shouldn't put a kli next to a kli, but it could be that in this case Rav Moshe says that's only if they're too full kelim. Maybe it's only if it's likely to spill. If it's some plate, especially if it's covered, then it's not so likely to spill. So it could be there's still a tzad to not worry about that.
There's something special about the microwave covers. You can use like saran wrap even if it's not like totally sealed well. Just like a little opening is okay.
That's the same basic idea. The truth is, if you can use saran wrap, most things you actually can seal well, and like nothing terrible will happen to you if you hermetically seal it. You just have to be careful how you open it. Like the popcorn bags. Right, and the popcorn bags, ideally, are supposed to stay closed. Then you open it and you don't stick your face there when you open it. So it's certainly doable.
Is that considered, is a popcorn bag sealed?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it opens.
Same as paper, it doesn't matter?
Yeah, paper's also a thing. Okay, that's about it for the discussion of ovens for now. Maybe we'll come back a little to discuss parif a little later. Let's look at siftes. Ner shela. So chilev, also kineshal shava. Also kineshal shava is his way of saying it's what we call a candle, as opposed to oil lamp. Right? So if you have a solid candle, like one of those cylinders that some people light for Shabbos, nowadays they have all fancier things. So if you have a chilev candle, shenotim in a tipa okli, and a drop of chilev. Modern day candles are generally not made of chilev. In the old days they used to be. I think nowadays modern day candles are made of kosher ingredients. But if you have a candle that's made of chaylev, and a drop drips off the candle onto a kli, ain tzarich kim grade. All you have to do is scrape it. Now we have to figure out what that grade means. Aval chelev mahuta cham shenafim in a tipa o kli tzarich hag ola. But if you had a liquid candle, there are two kinds of candles. There's candles with solid. There's lamps with solid candles. That if a drip falls on your kli, just scrape it. Then there's lamps, like the old-fashioned lamps, that just have liquid oil in them. And if a drop of that liquid chelev, melted chelev, falls on your kli, then you can't just scrape it off. You have to do hagala. So what actually is the is going on here? So the Shach says what actually is the difference. I mean, it's very difficult to figure out. What pshat? So he says in the beginning, he says it's because nifsa kakiluach. It just needs to be scraped off. Correct. Nifsa kakiluach. It just needs to be scraped off. In the second part, it's also nifsa kakiluach. Right? A drop dripped out of the candle, out of the lamp. No one's saying empty the whole lamp. That's also nifsa kakiluach. So somehow the seifa is worse because it's coming mamish from where the flames. Now, I'm not a bucky in how they used to make their lamps, so I'm not totally holding this, but apparently the way this, I don't know about the reality, but the way the scenario is being described in the Shulchan Aruch, for our lawful purposes, is that when you have a candle, usually the part of the candle that drips is not exactly where the flame is. It drifts on the other side of the candle. While if you have this lamp with liquid, often what falls, maybe it's like on top where the flame is exactly from where the flame is. So when the drop that falls is exactly from where the flame is, that's considered worse than regular Iwa, because it's coming straight from the flame, and it's considered hot, even though it's nifsa kakiluach. But for the solid candle, when it drips not from exactly where the flame is, that's just considered nifsa kakiluach. So that's the principle which the Shulchan Aruch is telling us here, is that there's a difference between something that falls from near a fire and something that falls mamish from the place of the flame. Mamish from the place of the flame is more machmir. Now, the one thing that's very unclear here, that's very unclear, is how does this relate to regular, how does this relate to Kedei Klipa? Right? Which one of these is Usher Kedei Klipa, like we learned about Yuma? Which case is it Usher Kedei Klipa, like we learned about Yuma? The case of the Ner Shel Shava, or the case of the Chela Mahuta Chan? I know, he uses the word grade and the word hagal. I don't want to know about grade and hagal. I want to know which one is Nesar Kedei Klipa. The second one is Nesar Kedei Klipa. So what David's telling us is that the first case is not Nivla at all. Why do you need to scrape it off then? For the bad, right? Everyone knows if wax falls, it hardens. So you need to scrape off the end. There's no Bliya, because Iwa Shalef Sekhar Kiloa has no Bliya. The second case, is a regular Iroi and has a bli of Kedei Klipa, and that's why he needs to do Hagala. So really what we're learning here is a kula. If it's nifsek and kiloach, if it's not coming mamish from a flame, it's not bole at all you have to do is scrape off the band. That's what David's telling us. Where does David get this idea from? That seems to be shot in the Shach. That sounds like what the Shach's trying to tell us. The Taz also seems to be saying the same thing. The Gro also seems to have a similar perspective. So what they're all telling us is a big kula here. The kula is, and the Chazon Ish definitely takes it this way. So the Pshat and the Shach seem to say this a little, we'll complicate the man in the Shach a little. The Taz, the Gro seem to be saying this, the Chazon Ish definitely passes this way. He says, what we learn here is a principle, Iwi Shemnipsik HaKiluach is no problem at all. Unless it's coming straight from where the flame is. So that's a kula. Now that shot would fit in well, as he himself pointed out, to the El Siv Zion, with what he himself said in Sifkutin, which Sifkutin do you talk about? Nifsika Kiloach? That's Sifkutin Lavazal, when he implies it with Ramah said in Siv Zion, which is that Nifsika Kiloach is not Mavliya. The only problem is, what's the problem with this way of reading the Shulchan Aruch? Same problem that the Dugim Evav and the Prim Gadim had in Siv Zayin. is that the Shach himself seems to pass the Kan seems to pass the Simikul Hay, the Irish and Efslaki Luach is Mavliya Kne Tikva. So David's reading with the Makel way, Irish and Efslaki Luach is nothing unless it comes straight from a fire, which is a Kula, Irish and Efslaki Luach is Heker Gomer, just scrape off the Be'en, on which many people seem to be sitting here, that goes against the Psak of the Shach and Simikul Hay. So, it could be that, okay, maybe the Shach Soser himself, maybe over here is Makel, but if you look in the Shach himself a little later, we all got this far by now, in the Shach at the very end of Simen Tzad Gimel, he says, don't bring the Araya from, don't bring the Arayas from this halacha of the Tipa Shenafla on the knife from the flame, because Greda is like Klipa. As the Shach, at the end of Simen Tzad Gimel, with Sifkat and Vav, says, Ein Raya Kal de Greda une Itza havi ke Klipa. The Kach Kosov Vichlu. Because that's like Klipa. So what the Rabbi Kiva Eger here brings that down, if you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger, over here, Sifkat and Sif Katan Chaf Beis. The Chumas Hadeshim of Lord, the Tam, Hatam, the Chamal Koponiko Irishal Nifsek Hakiluach, behind you, the Sphere, the Kaposko, the Irishal Nifsek Hakiluach, Oser, Bikulo, Kamoki Bishok, Nerbal Shom, the Shom, the Chasin Tilo, the Nuf, Tibam Hani, Gradish, and Nifsek Hakiluach, being graded, Makam Klipa, Kamashkos Vashach, Mashu Lom, Sokiluach, Nomahani Klipa. He says, graded, they bring the Klipa, quoting the Shach later, and so he reads this a different way. Rabbi Kiva Eger, based on the Shach a little later, reads this not as a kula, nifsika kiluach only means greda, but as a chur. Nifsika, and a different shach in greda. According to that shach, quoted by Rabbi Kiva Eger here, what does greda mean? Does it mean to scrape off the wax on it? What does he think greda means? To scrape off, what do you scrape? A layer of the knife. To scrape off a layer of the kli. As a machlok is what the word greda, as used by the Mechaber here, means. So he says, l'chumra, if it drops from a candle, irish and nifsek hakiluach, that asks for the klipa, so you have to scrape off the layer of the klipa. If it falls mamish from where the flame is, then it's more chumra, and it asks the whole thing, even though it's just irish, bekulo. And that's why you need Haggadah to remove the iser bekulo. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger here quote says, that he holds irish and nifsek hakiluach, also bekulo. That's how he wants to read the Shulchan Aruch. So, we have two different ways of reading the Shulchan Aruch. He's clearly making a chilek between coming from the flame, coming from near the flame, and coming from in the flame. Is it that coming from near the flame, nifsek hakiluach, is nothing, just scrape off the be'en? Or is it that, no, anything that comes from something has to be a klipa, but if it comes from the flame, it answers the whole thing. So we're not sure which is pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha l'maisa, what do we say about an irish and nifsek hakiluach from a hatta, and about an irish and nifsek hakiluach from a flame? So the Badei HaShulchan is a very reasonable psak here. The Badei HaShulchan says that really we should paskin against the Shulchan Aruch here. Rabbi Kiva Eger also suggests this, that either way it asks kedei klipa. On the one hand, because he wants to say, what if it's regular irish and nifsek hakiluach, not from a flame? So the Shach and Simen Kofei paskind, and the Echronim seem to agree that it asks today klipa. So it'll ask for today klipa of your klipa. What if it comes straight from the flame? So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, no, the Mechaber is going too far. Even if it comes straight from the flame, still, it should only ask for a today klipa. He says, maybe the Mechaber held Iwari asks the whole thing, but we hold Iwari never asks the whole thing. So the Badei Shulchan paskind is a compromise. He says, we'll reject the Shulchan Aruch's chiluk. We're not sure what he meant by it. But we'll just say either way, compromise. Either way, it asks us if they klipa of the plea that it falls on. Allah Flamaisa, I think that's what we would assume. That regardless of whether it came straight from the flame or not, it's Iwai, and we equate all Iwais. No difference between Nefsek HaKiluach and not Nefsek HaKiluach. No difference between from the flame, not from the flame. We just make a general rule. Iwai asks us if they klipa. If you want to call it great, I call it great, great. If you want to call it, I go, call it whatever you want. But it'll ask us if they klipa. That's the Halach Lamaisa. Excuse me. The last thing discussed here, there are long, very important, long discussion in the Taz, as you've seen, about the din of a ladle. Right, what is the din of a ladle? On the one hand, it's a cliche. It's not the thing that your soup was cooked in. On the other hand, it was used in the Kli Rishon on the fire. So maybe it's like a Kli Rishon. It was used on the fire, but it was only used to take something from on the fire. So is a ladle a Kli Rishon or a Kli Sheni? The Ma'aril wants to be... I mean, there's chumras and kulas both ways. For Isurin, it's a chumra to be like a Kli Rishon. For a Shabbos, it's a chumra to be like a Kli Rishon. But when is it a kula to be like a Kli Rishon? For Hagala. It's a kula to be like a Kli Rishon, because if a ladle is a Kli Rishon, then you can use it for Hagala and consider it a Kli Rishon. Right? If I want to do Hagala on my counter, I can just take in a ladle and pour from the ladle on the counter. If we view the ladles as a Kli Rishon. So there are kulas and chumras. The Ma'aril wants to say it's like a klisheni. The Taz doesn't think it makes any sense. Thinks it makes more sense for it to be a Kli Rishon. Halacha Lamaisa, he quotes at the end from the Tosfos in Daf Lamed Gimel Avodah Zarah, who's discussing the issue of Hagala. You know, can you use a ladle to do Hagala and consider that Kli Rishon? You know, if you pour from the ladle, that'll be Hagala, get you a Kli Rishon. And the Ri is Mesupak. The Ri, Yomer, it's a mitzvah, a mubchar, to kasher each board of a barrel separately and to throw on it from the actual Kli that you cook the water in it, to pour onto your counter. And that's good enough. And some people put a ladle in. Some people put a ladle in and wait for it to boil and then use that ladle to pour the water and kasher barrels. The Ri was mesupik, the Tala, Dover, Lahachmir, Vasa, Lahagavan, the Chashli, Shani, Lingam, Ligas, Tanagolas, Nami, also the Chashli, Kli Rishon, and Kamashama. The Ri was mesupik with the ladles of Kli Rishon and Kli Shani, and he was machmer both ways. For Hagali says, don't use a ladle, maybe it's only Kli Shani, and it doesn't have the power to kasher. But from Ligas Tanagolas, he says, don't pour on the chickens from a Kli Rishon, from a ladle, because maybe it's a Kli Rishon, and it will trafe up your chickens. So he's mesupik, and that's how we pass the Halacha Lamaisa, and all there is Halacha, both Hagala, and Blias, and Shabbos. That we're mesupik or the ladle is like a Kli Rishon or like a Kli Sheni, so therefore we're always machmer both ways. La'inyan helps harobes and bas b'chalav. That would mean you treat a ladle as a Kli Rishon and assume that it would cause a diya. Does the Mishnah Berurah say that?
He says you can use it as a Kli Sheni.
But does he say anything about sitting in the pot? Does he say anything that's sitting in the pot? What? Yeah, I think he quotes from like a prima gadol or chayim, but I didn't think it was a Mishnah Berurah. I don't remember. You see, this is the big thing, which I'm not going to get into now, but there are actually two types of ladles, right? There's a ladle that you dip in the pot for a second, which is cooler, and a ladle that you leave in the pot for a long time, and you dip into the pot, you know, 20 times, which gets a lot hotter. And you might think with svara that there'd be room to be mechalik between them. There is a prima gadim or chayim. I thought it's a prima gadim. I could be wrong. Let's check it out. I didn't think it was in the Mishnah Berurah. Who wants to say that the suffix is only by a ladle that you dipped in the pot once, but if you left it in the pot for a long time till it got very hot, then that is vaday Kli Rishon. Or at least, you know, that we can't use any kulas on chops, right? Whereas the famous kula, that you can put challah in your soup, right? There's no deal challah in the soup, right? Mishnah Berurah's makel, that even though we're machmir not to put challah in a cliché, you can put it in a suffic cliché, such as a bowl of soup. Because if the ladle is a Kli Rishon, the bowl is a cliché. The ladle is a cliché, the bowl is a cliché. So you're allowed to put challah in a suffic cliché. That's the Mishnah Berurah's kula. That's what you're thinking of. So what if, that's if you're the first bowl of soup. What if you're the last guy served soup, and the ladle was very hot at that point? Or what if the Baal Basa left the ladle sitting in the pot for 10 minutes? So is that, is that also, can you use this kula in the Mishnah Berurah? That's why a lot of Sfarim write, no, you can't use this kula of the Mishnah Berurah if you left the ladle in for a long time.
So Mishnah Zahir makes the chiluk, whether it's still in the Ishmael.
if you dip the ladle in wallets in the ish or not. Right, which is the truth is there are, on our Shabbos ladles we
right after the
never put the ladle when it's on the ish because that's awesome. The
right after the
Yad Ephraim,
Kuf Mem Hei.
Thank you. Right after the Yad Ephraim. Do I have the Yad Ephraim?
It's a little symbol for it right there.
Ah, right, it's a little symbol. The angle of the options. For Reikon, ain't shame clearisha of Ashikh, which is actually who's from an Ish, Odo Alish, Vada Boleya, in Yazo, let us go. Yeah, I'm not sure if that's exactly what he's. What he's referring to? What he's referring to here? Anyway, lemaase. I don't know. I don't see it to be shown. I mean, the Ri's case here is where you actually leave the ladle atche haraticha ola tochaka ara. Sounds like he's made, you know, on all kinds of ladles he's missed up. But so I'm not convinced. I don't think the Mishmur ever said there's a difference in all kinds of ladles. I think even though there could be differences, we're missed up equally in all of them. And pashtus is that we're missed up on all ladles. Whether it's the Mishnah of the Kitshemi, which means normally we're mocking both ways, but we do have this heter of challah, especially since on Shabbos we only ladle off the fire. So that's another tzad l'haka. Okay, but that means more yinah for Shabbos. Okay, any other question about Siman Tzadi Beis? Let's go to Siman Tzadi Gimel. You might have noticed if you're looking at Torah Beis Yosef, it's a funny Siman Tzadi Gimel, because most of the Torah we don't paskin like. Strikingly, like 95% of the Torah is not l'halacha, but there's only one line in the Torah that is l'halacha. Which we'll see in a moment. That's the Rabbeinu Peretz. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. K'dirish b'shavu basol lo yivash b'chalav. That is obvious. Actually, I shouldn't say it's so obvious. There's a sheet of the Ra'ah in the Bedek Abayis, on the side of the Torah Abayis. I want to say, after 24 hours, you can cook milk in a meat plea and meat in a milk plea. The Rabbanon only made their gzeir v'ina v'nyomo by trif. They never made gzeir v'ina v'nyomo by meat and milk. Okay, but we completely reject that. We assume it's a Dover Pasha that Midoraisa, you can't cook milk in a Ben Yomo meat plea. And Midorabonan Gazer ain't a Ben Yomo or a Ben Yomo. So once you cook meat once in a plea, you can never cook milk in it. If you do cook within 24 hours, it is usser. You have to get a goy to taste it. And if it tastes like meat, it's usser. And the Ramah says for us, but we don't actually use nosin tam. We don't get a goy to taste it. We just measure shishim against the whole kedera. As the Shach points out, if you say you need shishim times the kedera, that's basically a death blow because you never have shishim times the kedera. If you work out the calculus, you see it's practically impossible for there ever to be 60 times as much food as there is kedera. The Shach says maybe if you have a very broad kli made of very thin metal, but it's not so shayach, even though in our days our kelim maybe are a little thinner than they were in the old days, so we have better technology, it's still hard to find a case where you're going to have 60 times as much food as the volume of the kedera. It's possible. I mean, you work out the calculus and it just has to be very wide and very thin and very thin metal. But it's as you know, the wider the kli is, the thicker the metal has to be, so the bottom doesn't fall out. So it's very hard. So what that means, if you cook milk in a flesh of pot, it's true. But if it was after 24 hours that you cooked milk in the flesh of pot, then it's nosin hamlef gam mutter tavshol. Then your tavshol is mutter, so you only got a tamlef gam of basar. What about the kedera? But the kedera also lavash below basar lochalav. But the kedera is usher to cook meat and milk. What's the status of this kedera? As Ramah ends, of all shard dvarim mutter. So it's a very interesting, longish status of this kedera. It's almost a riddle. If I were to ask you a riddle, you know, how can a pot be fleshik and milchik but not treif? Right? So the answer to that riddle is this case. You cook meat, and then after 24 hours, you cook milk. Is this a fleshik pot? Yes, it is a tam of meat. Is it a milchik pot? Yes, it is a tam of milk. Is it a treif pot? Did it ever get a taste of anything treif? No, it never got a taste of basar b'chalav. Because by the time the basar b'chalav mixed, it was tam lef gam, and it's not derech bishul asr Torah. Mitzvah Lufgan. So this never absorbed, this pot never absorbed anything treif, but it did absorb meat and it did absorb milk. So what should logically the halacha be about this riddling pot? No, logically, you can't cook any meat because it has a milk layer. You can't cook any milk because it has a meat layer. But you can cook pariv because you're allowed to cook pariv in a meat layer and you're allowed to cook pariv in a milk layer. And it has no treif layer because it never absorbed basar b'chalav, only basar and chalav. But basar and chalav can't be basar b'chalav if it's tam l'fgan. So, this is now a real pariv pot. You can only use it for pariv, not meat or milk. That is what Ramah says. The Shach comments, he brings Ramah a little later, we'll see, right at the beginning of the next man, that even though, halachically, if you're a real lamdan, this should be your favorite pot, because it's a very interesting and it's fleshy and milchic, but it's not treif, and you're not allowed to cook meat or milk, but you can't cook vegetables. But since not everyone's such a big lambda necessarily, and it'll be very confusing to people that you have a pot that's basar and chalav and you're still allowed to cook in it, the minig is that we treat it as treif, that we call this pot treif legamri and we don't cook anything in it. A very wise minig.
Why can't you cook milk or meat in it? Because I assume we say that if you cook milk in it, that somehow the milk is supposed to be vinegar or some kind of taste there. No.
If you cook, it has an eino ben yomo blia of meat. There are banamid exer, eino ben yomo, atu ben yomo. So you're not allowed to cook milk in eino ben yomo meat, atu ben yomo meat pot. And it also has a blia of milk. So however long you wait, it'll have a blia of milk, even if it's eino ben yomo. You can't cook meat in eino ben yomo milk pot.
This is just the exer.
Yeah, because it's eino ben yomo, atu ben yomo.
So why would the exer extend to cooking part of things? I mean, it's just for exer.
So this is a little tricky. We had a little conversation about this. Why don't we say you can't cook pariv? Xera ain't a benyomo of meat and milk, atu, if you cook pariv in a pot with benyomo meat and milk. What? So the Badei Shulchan wants to take a very practical perspective. He says, look, if you cook milk in this pot, you might accidentally mix that up with cooking milk in this pot 3 days ago when the taste of meat was fresh, and that's treif. If you cook meat in this pot, you might accidentally confuse that with cooking meat in the pot when the time of the milk is fresh, and it would be treif. But if you cook vegetables in this pot, there never was a time when the vegetables would be treif. Because originally it was only fleishik, and then by the time it became a milchik pot, the fleish was eino ben yomo. So there's never any potential to treif of vegetables in this pot. Right, again, I cook meat on Monday. I cook milk on Wednesday. Now on, I can never cook milk. Why? Because I might mix it up and cook the milk right after the meat and eat treif. I can never cook meat, so I might mix it up and cook the meat right after the milk and it'll be treif. But I can cook vegetables, because there's no way to mix this up and have treif vegetables. If I cook the vegetables Monday, they would just be fleish. Tuesday, just fleish. But if I would cook them Wednesday, by the time I cook milk, there's no more meat taste anymore. The meat is the time of God. So there would be milk. There's no way you could ever treif up vegetables in this pot. So the Rabbanah didn't mean to make exera. They only made exera if you could come to treifing something up. But here you can't come to treifing something up because there was never a time when both the meat and the milk were time the shvach and the vegetables. So therefore, the Rabbanah didn't make exera here.
Would it be like
chazer or
something?
So interestingly, if you cook something chazer in this pot, lechor would be chazer treif. Very interestingly, that he makes it sound like, no big deal, v'chuli v'chuli. But I guess the Rama was assuming that you knew better than to cook chariv things. Yeah, if I start cooking vinegar in this pot, then lechor, that's chazer treif. Very interesting.
The pot is
chazer terebol? Yeah, vada. The pot is that sort of terebol. This stuff sounds so far. He hesitates a bit, but the Ikra Din, you probably learned this in Night Seder, it'll be in your Bechina. What if a baking rack absorbed meat and 26 hours later absorbed milk? Can I kashrut through Haggadah? Right? Isn't it a terebol or a surebol? So Chassam Sofer said, at least Meikra did, he thinks, yeah, you can cash it through a gala, because it's a terebol, and a lot of posts can bring that down. Yeah, this is totally a terebol. There's no chash of Isser ever here. Just two mutually annoying heterebolas. But Lechora, this would be a total heterebol. I mean, for a pot, it makes no difference, but it's a terebol or a surebol. Unless you have like the Rashba. But Lechori, this is pure Hetera Bala. The The Taz here goes through a long discussion of the various shitas that it has in the Torah. I mean, again, you probably know the pattern by now. The Taz likes to discuss things brought up in the Torah just for Torah the Shema, even if it's not necessarily to get off Lamaisa, right? The Shach points that out here in the Kuzak Kesef, right? Right, that's the first Shach in the Kuzak Kesef. He doesn't give the Taz very much respect, and he says, the Chukim, I don't even need to tell you why, it's so pashut. And why did you write it here? That was the Derech of the Taz. The Taz analyzed the Bach and the Torah and the Chuli. He analyzes people, even though he has no Havim of Paschim like them. All right, Torah Lishma. The Shach says, no, Torah Lishma is great. I wrote other books of Torah Lishma. Look at my Sefer HaRuch on the Torah. I wrote a Perush on the Torah. But on the Shach and Aruch, we should deal with Halach Lamaisa. A little bit of a Hashkafic difference. but anyway, the Taz does remind us here, in the Torah, they have all kinds of strange, peculiar shitas brought down. We Paskin, the Shulchan Aruch, is based on the Rabbeinu Peretz in the Torah. What did Rabbeinu Peretz say? He says, very pashut. You cook milk and meat in a pot, regardless of how, when, and why, that pot now can't be used anymore for meat or milk. That's how we Paskin. I think that's the pashut. The Inter brings down some other kulas. He says, maybe you can use it like the second thing you cooked from now on. Or maybe you could even use it like anything from now on. Which is a very big chidushim, he wants to say, that doesn't really have any bliya anymore. But what is the svar of this Yitzur? We totally don't hold like the Yitzur. We don't hold like the Yitzur at all. Right? The Yitzur brings down three opinions. About his case is a little different. His case is when you cook milk in a ben yomo pot, but the rishishim can make the basar, so there's no trick. So, he brings out three opinions. His last opinion is, like we say, well, now don't use it at all. But his first opinion is that you can use it for milk, which is the most recent thing cooked. And his second opinion is that you can use it for milk or meat now. So these are very strange shitas. What are these based on? So the Taz explains, it must be based on a number of assumptions. A, like the Rashba, that cooking something is a good enough kashrut to get out a taste of heter from a kli. So A, you have to hold like the Rashba. The just cooking milk is a kashering of the kli, is a hagol of the kli. B, that even though it's a kli cheres, and you can kashrut a kli cheres, it's only drabbanim that you can kashrut a kli cheres. The oraisa you can kashrut a kli cheres. And
for heter or but, a friend.
D'oraisa, you can kashrut a kli cheres. D'oraisa, you can kashrut a kli cheres for anything. But, we d'oraisa, you can kashrut a kli cheres. Only it's a drabbana not to kashrut a kli cheres. And in this case, since they didn't want to make you a hefzid, if your kli would have to be thrown in the garbage, the rabbana relaxed their isa drabbana and said, you know what? Even though really cooking milk doesn't get the meat taste out, because a kli cheres can't be kashrut, midoraisa, you can't kashrut klicharis. Only with your abundant you can. That's a big chidush. The Torah says you can't kashrut klicharis. Right? What's the lashon? The Torah says you can't kashrut klicharis. The answer is a big chidush. No. The Torah just meant for the purpose of kudshim you can't kashrut klicharis. And the Rabbanan said in regular halacha you can't kashrut klicharis. That's a pretty big chidush for the Bala Itter. But if the Bala Itter holds this, there's only Rabbanan that you can't kashrut kli cheres, then when you cook milk, mida oraisa, it's not a flesh of kli anymore. And mida Rabbanan, since they knew you would have to throw out the kli if it was both flesh and milchik, they were makel that Mimakam Hefsid, Bidiyevid, Mimakam Hefsid will treat this kli cheres as kashrut. So that got rid of the meat taste. The cooking milk kashrut out the meat taste. That's the chiddush of the Itter. It's a wild chiddush, and there's so many reasons we wouldn't possibly do this. But again, A, the assumption that cooking milk is kashering. B, the assumption that midoraisa you can kasher cleric. Cleric, it's only drabbanan you can't. And C, the Malkum Hefsid, in the end, the drabbanan are nako, and let you kasher, not let you kasher cleric, kasher shalom, but let a cleric that was kashering in the end be considered kasher. And why is this like a sit? Because if you have both meat and milk, you're going to have to throw out your cleric. So these three assumptions. Now, these three assumptions only explain the first shita, why you can now use it for milk, because you kashered out the meat. How do you explain the second shita you can use it for anything? So you have to add the fourth assumption. The fourth assumption is once the Rabbanan are making on Yisurim Rabbanan, they're making on all the Xeris Rabbanan, so they're also making on Yisurim Rabbanan. once they're making one, Yisurim Darbonan, they're making on everything, so Taka, you can use it for meat or milk from now, because they're just making all these Yisurim Darbonan, so wait 24 hours, and they removed all these Yisurim Darbonan and it's mutter. Very, very big kiddushim is itter. Okay, but that's somehow the shita of the itter. Lechor, this is some of the shita. The itter is famous for having a shita. You can pass for 3 times by doing it over 3 times. So that would fit in. If he thinks that really it's only Darbonan, then you can't catch for 3 Ferris. If you do it 3 times, okay, it's mutter. We also don't pass them like that. Don't get your hopes up. What?
It's just the Taz's explanation
about it,
right?
It's just the Taz's explanation of all the iter. Correct. But it's... What?
Rashi also brings down the Marani bin Chavir, who explains it differently, right?
Who?
Explain
how does he explain the Bala iter?
That the Cholav did Hagala on the...
That's what the Taz just said.
Oh,
the Cholav did Hagal on the Basar.
Oh, so using this.
Yeah. Again, one, the Cholav did Hagal on the Basar, which is itself an assumption. B, you can do Hagal on a Kincheres on the Doraisa level, a second assumption. C, even the Rabbanan were matched for Hagal on a Kincheres, but the Evid Mokum Hefzid. And D, once they're relaxed their Isurim and let you get rid of the meat taste, they also let you get rid of the milk taste based on the principle of the Yom if you wait 24 hours. Wild assumptions, but that's the sheet of the iter. Needless to say, we don't pass it like it.
Doesn't that make sense logically?
What?
Doesn't it make sense logically? If you boil water in a pot, it takes the meat out. So you boil anything in a pot.
No, the first step is you're right, that's just the Rashba. That's the smallest of the Hebrew. It's the other steps that are a little crazier. That meat or rice, you can kasher with klisharis. That's a big sheet of yachin. And that it's still the Rabbanan, you can't. And that the Eved, Mark and Hefshid, the Rabbanan will make it. Who says? We don't normally assume that. But yet, Mark and Hefshid are going to just make them all their residuous. You know? It's a big fetish, this iter. Okay. Interesting fetish. That's the other iter, that you can kasher it by Hagala 3 times. Not this iter. He was not making it based on Hagala 1 time. Okay. We'll come back to your point in a minute when we get to the end of the seven, which shouldn't take us too long, and hopefully we'll still keep the shiur under an hour. The now drama has this chumrah that no one understands. What's this chumrah? There is some masorah the Rama had from the earlier poskim. Kisor. What was this masorah? Everyone knows the rule. This rule is so obvious that don't even have to tell you. If you cook food in Einu Binyomu, you cook milk Einu Binyomu in pot, meat Einu Binyomu milk pot, the food's okay because it got a tam lufgam, but the pot's usher, because now flesh and milk, it cannot be minna, which is full of truth, to make things simpler. What if it was not the pot, but the cover that was Einu Binyomu? So there's this minna in the drama found that in a pot, there's no pool of Einu Binyomu. The cover in a kisoy, there's no pool of Einu Binyomu. A kisoy will crave up your food even if it's Einu Binyomu. Even if the kisoy was only used a week ago, if I put a flesha cover on my milchik soup, even if it was only used a week ago, a kisoy is more chomer, and even if it's Einu Binyomu, will crave up your food. Now, what is the reason for this chomer? So the Ramah says, according to Ramah, what's the svara for this chumrah? There's none. Chumrah, he doesn't know. He gave up. Not just he doesn't know, he gave up. He doesn't fancy any reason why it could possibly be that a kisa would be more chumrah than a pot and asra even if it's Einu Binyomu. After all, Tam Lufgam is Tam Lufgam, right? After 24 hours, it becomes Lufgam. What difference does it make if it's the cover of the pot? So the Ramah paskins within kisa, kidev, 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 atzma. But the Yesh Machmir b'kisoy lomer da'af b'she'enu ben yomo dino kilo hayu ben yomo. It's always like a ben yomo. V'cheino b'nei mitzas v'chomos v'cheino y'noig b'nei aminog. That's the minog in some chomos, including obviously his makom. And he said, I myself keep that because that's the minog. I don't want to violate the minog. But v'chum of lo tam, there's no reason for it. U'mikol makom, but I still do it. B'makom she sad lahatir b'lav hachi oshu tzorach shabbos o'hefzit yesh lahatir b'nei kisoy ben yomo k'mo b'kideira atzma. But, if there's any other tzad l'hakel, since the minhag without a tam, if there's any tzad l'hakel, such that there's some other halachic factor which could be mekel, or if it's for Shabbos or Hefzid, then you can be mekel if the kisha is not a ben yomo, just like there is, just like the normal, real halacha should be. So, I'll be real, you can rely on the real halacha, after ben yomo, won't trip up your food, if there's any other tzad l'hakam. Again, the cover will still be treif, so it'll be milk and inflation. But it won't treif up your food. So the Ramah takes a middle ground, and he says, you know, we'll keep this minog, but if you have any tzad l'hakam, you don't have to keep it. The later achronim, the Pitzvei Tshuva quotes from later achronim who found other tzadim l'hakel, he quotes a day that after 2 months you can be makel, because there's one day based on one gemara that after 2 months the iser dries up. So after 2 months you can be makel. In Sivkat and Dalet he says maybe if it's not really a piece, just a plate that you use to cover your pot, then there's a minig about that. Only if it's an official kisoy. No, they really try to minimize the minhag.
Isn't there another way talking about that?
If you're in that market.
Right, and otherwise you shouldn't.
Right.
So, saying, when you bring that
so all of these achronim assumed were from the makom that has this minhag. Right? They were all from the makom that had this minhag. So apparently they say they're from the Makom that has the minhag. So I want to develop just three different approaches to the Lamaisa. One approach is the Ramah's approach, who says, look, it's a minhag. If you're in that Makom, you're stuck with the minhag, even though it's not logical. So if you can find Tzad L'Hakam, you can be minhag. Even 2 months old is a Tzad L'Hakam. Or if it's not a real cover, that's a Tzad L'Hakam, Pesach Tshuva says. That's one approach. The Shach, on the other hand, what does the Shach think? He says, look, if it's a minhag without a reason, then guess what? Then it's not a valid minhag. You know what people say about minhag. So the Shachter says there is no, not there isn't such minhag in Tzias, but it's not binding and it could just be mako. The Shach is not a fan of this minhag at all. Most posts can assume, it doesn't have to be in between, but the Maisa, in between the Shach and the Ramah, the Ramah and the Shach have something in common. The Ramah says there's no reason. So you have to be machmir if you're stuck with the minhag, if you're from that place, unless you can find an excuse. Shach says that there's no reason, it's mutter. Many achronim paskin that maybe there is a reason, because there have been some reasons suggested. What are some of the reasons that were suggested? So the Shach, I've seen three reasons on the page here. The Shach quotes from the Torah's Chakas, a reason that he doesn't understand. He said, well, it absorbs through Zeyah and Reach, so it's very much more machmir. Which is a little hard to understand why this would be more machmir than absorbing through actually cooking on it. All right, strange. The Taz quotes from the Bach, who says that maybe it's because since you use the pot cover all the time and you don't like clean it so often, a lot of schmutz gets stuck there and it's impossible to clean out the bed. Okay, that's also a little strange. I mean, why is it impossible to clean out the bed? Just clean out the bed. The most logical reason given is the Marshal. What did the Marshal say? Some covers, not the covers we're used to, right? We're used to flat covers. Some covers are very thin cones that have little crevices in the middle, and you can't get your hand into that crevice to clean out the be'en. So a cover always has a key, so it always has be'en. That's why it's also not been yomo. We pass in be'en. No matter how long you let it sit, it's still a shvach, right? Potentially. So the Marshal says, the Bach says, just it's hard to clean because it always gets stuck with food. So there's be'en. The Marshal says better. He says, no, it has crevices and it has a very narrow location in the middle, which you can't fit your hand in. And they didn't invent yet all these scrubby things on sticks and whatever. So you can't clean it. And therefore, that's why this minhag originated, because that you can't clean out the be'en, even after 24 hours, the be'en is still going to ask for your food. The Achronim Paskin like the Marshal, which means that really you should keep this minhag if you have the kind of pot cover that has a crevice inside that you can, that's hard to clean. But the Achronim, the Chachmas Adam and others Paskin like the Marshal, that this really is a logical minhag and you should really keep the minhag, but the minhag is only meant to apply to funny shaped pot covers that they used to have in the old days, which had crevices that were hard to clean. Our pot covers, which are very easy to clean and relatively flat, there was never a minhag in the first place. And that's the halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa, we should keep this minhag for a logical reason in the funny shaped pot covers, but the minhag is never meant to apply to regular pot covers like we have b'zmanazeh. So b'zmanazeh, we don't keep this minhag at all, not because we think there's no reason we reject it, but because we think there is a reason But that reason only applies to certain shapes, which we don't have anymore nowadays in the modern world.
Should apply pots too, then.
What?
You should apply a pot also.
Well, in no days did they ever have pots with narrow crevices.
It's a handle.
What?
The handle coming that's inside the pot. You know,
it's a handle inside the pot? Handles are outside the pot.
I think some handles are built into the pot, so like it's hollow.
Really? Okay, then it should. I never saw that. But if true, then it cannot be. That would be, I would agree. I never saw that kind of pot, but Lugitsu, it exists. Have you seen it with your own eyes?
Like old type pots, though.
Yeah, okay. If there's a little, like you're saying, the airspace of the pot can go through the airspace inside the handle.
Right, exactly.
And then come back out the other side of the handle. Okay, if that's true, then a lot of Zaya would get there and like be stuck there at the end, and it would just fill with all kinds of schmutz, and you could never clean it. And then this, maybe we should be machmir. They also point out, though, that as long as you have 60 times as much food as the space in that crevice, it's also okay. So even if you did have that pot and you were machmir for this minhag, if you cook food that had shishim connected that crevice, you'd be okay. Well, it's always also the chachil in the yom. Right, we're talking about it that's in a vinyoma of milk and you're cooking meat. So that's always asur l'chachila. No one will have meat of matrim yet l'chachila. But in echnam. The Ramah has this very strange, I don't know if anyone else, did anyone else have trouble with the end of the Ramah here? Very strange scenarios of putting covers onto pots. Let's see if we can work them out. Who understands the rest of the Ramah about if you put the wrong cover onto the wrong pot? Anyone? Want to help me out here? Josh does. Okay, so we'll ask Josh to help us with it. The imlachu kisu roteach mitderish al basal. If you took a hot cover from a fleshy pot, means you're cooking fleshy and milk at the same time. You accidentally take the hot cover off your fleshy pot, and you put it on your milk pot. Im shneim chamin, if they're both hot, if there's food in these, meaning there's actually food in the pots, then they're both asur. What is both? Both the cover and the pot and what's inside it. Everything is treif if you put the fleisha cover accidentally on the milky pot. Okay, why is everything treif if you put the fleisha cover on the milky pot, Josh?
Once you put it on the top, I guess you'll have zeya going up and down.
Because the zeya goes throughout it. And that's what the Gros seems to imply, right? What does the Gros say here? He comments, "Kamosha comes from Sofer Kaid Machshir and Aisha v'chuli." You know, he refers you to above to Sif Besif Shekodem, the Indian of Zeya, because you put the cover on the pot and there'll be Zeya throughout. Now, there's one thing which is a little unclear to me, which the Achronim had problems with. In the next line, he says, it's usr. In the next line, he says, if it started to be mazia. Why doesn't in this case he say it's usr if it started to have zeya?
Because they're both hot already.
So if they're both hot already, then why doesn't he say it's only usr if there started to be zeya?
Because they're stopping their own zeya. Here it's not always
the same to be, so you have to fight. That's what the Chadash says. I actually want to say something a little more clever, which may or may not be true, but say that if you take a hot pot from Fleshit and put it on your milk, how would you test if it started to have Zeya under the Kadabra? If I wanted to test, I put a cold cover on a hot pot, I wanted to test if there was Zeya. How would I test? I take off the cover and look for drops. So I thought that maybe you say this. It's a little clever, but it still might be true. If I take a cover from hot fleshit and put it on top of milchik, then when I open it up, I can't really check if the zeya reached this pot cover because there'd be drops from the pot it used to be on anyway. There'll always be drops in this pot cover because it's coming from a cooking pot. So therefore, there's no way to really know if the zeya connected the milchik pot to the fleshit cover because there'll be drops on it anyway. So I'm not just saying it's usher. In all circumstances, it's usher. Okay, that might be chat. But lemaisa the Ramah, assumes there's some Indian of Zeya here. It's the Pashut that either there's going to be Zeya or you'll have to suspect that there's Zeya because it won't be easy to figure out if there was or wasn't Zeya. So you can't know if there's Zeya or not, or if the stomach there was Zeya. And therefore, the Zeya connects the pot cover, the pot, and the food, and it's all treif. I mean, unless the food is 60 times as big as the pot cover. But usually it's not, so it would all be treif. That's the first case. Good. Let's go to the second case. If you makisa tzonim lakderecham, if you take a cold fleshy cover, right, you go to your cupboards where you keep your pot covers, and instead of taking a milchik, you take a cold fleshy cover and put it on a milchik pot. Then they're also both trade. If it started to sweat under the kisoy, right, so what do? You take a cold cover and you put it on your cold, clean cover from your closet and you put it on the wrong gender pot that's cooking on the stove. You're cooking chicken soup, you accidentally put a milk cover on. So you take the cover off as soon as you realize and you look. And if there's sweat on it, that means it was filled with zeya. And everything's straight. And if there's no sweat on it, then you're lucky, and it's still kosher. That would be that would be the psak of the Ramah here. And why do we say it's all trif and not just the tekipa? So there's hot on the bottom and cold on top, and we use the rule tata agavar, so it's all considered hot, and everything is trif. That's the second case. Let's go to the third case, which already becomes controversial. So what about the other way around? You have a cold pot of chicken soup. And you accidentally take your hot cover from your boiling milk and put it on the cold pot of chicken soup. So you've got hot fleishik and cold milk, or vice versa. Then what's the din? Hakol shari. Everything's mutter. Both the cover and the pot are mutter. Even though you put milk on top of meat or meat on top of milk, it's all mutter. Okay, why is it all mutter? What might we have expected the rule to be? If you put hot on top of cold? And? We might have said we should say the klipa of the pot at the top and the klipa of the kisoy at the bottom are treif. Because that's how Gavr asks us to klipa. But the Ramah says nothing's treif. So what's pshat? Why should what? No, the cover is touching the pot, and the pot's touching the cover. And not only that, this cover is full of all kinds of drops, right? So it's taken off of cooking milk. So all those drops are underneath the tzad gavar. So let's see, what is the Ramah saying? The Ramah explains himself in the Darshan Moshe, which is quoted here in the Shach. What's the logic of the Ramah? Why is there no Isser at all? According to the Ramah? Why does he think you put hot and cold, there's no Isser at all? Because it's like a cliche. In what way? First of all, why doesn't the cover just answer the pot directly? Because Kuk there is no Isser Bazoo, don't answer each other. Right, it's interesting. You could bring this, and as no one seems to think that the shtei kederos will answer each other directly, which actually works very well for the Chavos Das, we mentioned a long time ago, that even if there's a tiny bit of moisture, still, two kederos won't answer each other if there's only a tiny bit of moisture. And this pot will only have a tiny bit of moisture. So there could be the pot and the cover won't directly answer each other, to shtei kederos no gazoo bazoo. But why won't the drop, the lachlufis, why won't the moisture on the cover answer a kederos of the pot? I put this cover down in the pot, all these little beads of fleishik, you know, chicken soup zeya go down onto this pot. So that these beads of chicken soup zeya land on this pot, why don't they treif up the pot to the klipa? So the Ramah says, because since it's just a drop, even though normally Iroi is mevashel to the klipa, that's if it's a bead. If it's just a drop, then it has no power to do anything. If just a drop of hot lands on cold, that's what's going on here. Because the cover itself has no power to answer the pot. Angry, you go from the clue to the It's only the drops of chicken soup zeya that can answer your pot. Those drops of chicken soup zeya, since only a drop cannot have any effect on a large cold thing, a hot drop cannot affect a large cold thing, and drops have no chumra of iroi. Right, there I'm on, he's a big cooler, right? Let's say, I don't know, a drop of milk. Not like everything that's inside of me. That was milk going onto a cooking pot. A drop of hot milk landed, a little drop, tiny drop of hot milk landed on a cold, fleshy pot. The Ramah would say, no problem. A drop cannot answer a cold thing, even to the klipa, even any milk. Drops have no power to affect cold things. What's
a drop?
What's a drop? I don't know. A small drop. I'm not sure. Yeah?
Why is it a cliche that I mean, it's kind of cliche that you. That
No, what he means is the drop is not concerning the status of Eeyore. The drop is concerning the land on the cold pot and become part of its cliche. Oh, as it lands, it's so hot. No, that's worthless because it's so little heat because it's only a drop. So that's the cool of the Ramah. The Shach argues on the Ramah. And the Shach argues on the Ramah. And the Shach says, if there's any moisture on this hot cover, that moisture is a hot thing on top, and it doesn't matter if it's a drop or if it's a whole elephant. All the same heat. Hot moisture is landing on a cold pot. That hot moisture asers a clip of that cold pot. So the Shach says the pot would get trafed up. The pot would be trafed, because wherever a little drop of lachluchis landed on it, again, I put my cover from hot chicken soup on a cold pot of milk. So there's all kinds of hot chicken soup liquid stuck on this pot cover. Wherever that hot chicken soup liquid lands on the pot, but aser k'dei klipa, because it's chum on top of tzonim, which aser k'dei klipa, and it doesn't matter if it's big or small. That's the psak of the shach. Halacha l'maisa, what do we say? Do we say that a little drop of hot landing on cold has no power, like the Ramah? Or do we say like the Shach, no, even a little drop has power to aser a little drop of k'dei klipa? Halacha l'maisa, the Achronim assume like the Shach, but the Chachma Zadim says, Mimakim Hefsid, you can rely on the Ramah. So there is room, let's say it's a pot that can't be kashered. You know, it's a nice pot that can't be kashered. Then there'd be room to rely on Ramah, but in most cases we'd be machmer, like the Shach in this case. Yes?
What's the difference between this and what was
the Rashi? Which was? Well, that's exactly what the Shach talks about. He says there also is just one hot drop laying on a cold thing, and he says, and Garrett Oscar today, keep on. So too, Garrett. Now, just give me a second. So too, here. Yeah, this taka though, maybe this gives us a new pshat in the end of some tzadi beis. And as we, maybe this gives us a third way of understanding the end of some tzadi beis. One way of understanding is that nifsek hakiluach doesn't cause a bleeding, right? Nifsek hakiluach doesn't cause a bleeding. The other way of understanding is that nifsek hakiluach does cause a bleeding. Braiding means scraping the knife, not just scraping the wax. Maybe there's a third way of understanding it based on the Dr. Moshe here. Even if the second look does cause a bleeding, it's a big injury. But if it's just a drop, then it doesn't cause a bleeding. And maybe that's the shot in Simon Sadi based Sif test, that it's just a drop of the second look that's more lethal than other than the second look and doesn't cause a bleeding. Now, I don't know who holds that shot, because the shot doesn't hold that shot. But it could be that's another way of interpreting the Siman Sadi Beis Sif test. That it's only a drop at a Nifsek HaKiluach. It has no power anymore. And that's why it doesn't cause a bleed into the knife. Unless it comes straight from the flame, in which case it has more power. Okay, I didn't see anyone mention that in Siman Sadi Beis. Did you? But it's the Shach will almost bring that up as a theoretical possibility he's ignoring. So halacha l'maisa, you put hot on cold. What you have is hot drop landing on cold. The Ramah says no problem. A drop can't do anything. The Shach says this is classic Eeyore, classic. Hot on the top and cold on the bottom, and it's asur's k'dei klipa. Halacha l'maisa, if it's a metal kli, we'll say we're machmer like the Shach, and we trafe up the kli and kasher it. If it's let's say a teflon or something that can't be kashered, then we could be mekel and say like the Ramah, one drop didn't do anything. Explain.
For Tatar Gavra, he said, yes, but you have to take relative size into account.
No, because he was just discussing whether it goes through the whole thing or putting klipa. He wasn't suggesting that it ever doesn't go in at all. He might agree, like it would fit in, but it's not what he said. Okay, the last thing the Ramah says here, which is, the next thing, which is a little funny, says, Rak ha-ma'achal tzarech klipa. And this is a little hard to find shot in. The Achronim really have a lot of trouble with this. He says, for the Shach, this makes perfect sense. The Shach says if you put hot on cold, we all know the rules of hot on cold. So the klipa of the pot is also, and the klipa of the food in the pot is also. Why? Because the hot drops fall onto the food in the pot and make it usher to the klipa. That makes perfect sense. If you can take a klipa, it's also the klipa. If not, it's okay. That makes perfect sense. But for the Ramah, this is very tricky. What did the Ramah just get from telling us? That hot drops on top of a cold thing do not cause any bliya, because they're only drops. And that's why the pot is mutter. But they do cause a bliya because they klipa in the food, and the food is also. Look in the Darkenos, she says, these drops are only like a cliché, they can never cause a bliya. But you need to take off a klipa from the top of the food. Because after all, it's all in, it's also a klipa. And as a big steer, it's very unclear what's going on in the mind of the Ramah here. He doesn't explain himself why he thinks that it's a hot cover in a cold pot, that the pot's mutter to the drops can't cause a bliya, but the food is usher to the klipa because the drops can't cause a bliya to the klipa. It's very unclear. He doesn't really explain himself in the dark emotion. So what's Pshat, Josh? So it's very unclear. Everyone leaves observe Ian. It must somehow be that somehow, even though he didn't say this, since pots are hard and food is soft, he was somehow more willing to be makel by pots than by food, because it's easier to cause a bleed into food than into a pot. Why can't you just wash off and do hadacha to get rid of the be'en? So it could be that there is the Yad Yehuda wants to say Usher's direction. And I think there are two ways of thinking about. Either he was makor by a pot and makel by food. Just because, you know, foods, after all, just take off. Well, three ways. You could say he's makor by a pot because it's hard, but makel by food because it's soft. Or you could say he's makor by a pot because that's a pain to kashrut, but makel by foods because it's easy to just take off a klipa. Usher wants to say that maybe it's like that bar gozla and the kada de kimcha, perhaps. That's the Yehuda wants to say. Sometimes in foods, a liquid can actually be nivla into a solid if that solid is cooked or cracked or refuli. Maybe that's what he's talking about here. This food is probably cooked and cracked and spicy and all these other things. So therefore, the drop will get nivla a little. I mean, how far can a drop go? Certainly no further than if the klipa. That's the one in suffering that a mashu can never go further than a klipa. So take off a klipa because the end drops that fell, and even though usually you can wash off of the end, here it'll go into a kadei klipa like that bar gozla because it's probably falling into cooked food. I mean, if food is in a pot, you'd think it would be cooked. So that's a very nice pshat that Asher's saying, and the Yad Yehuda says the same pshat, that really the Ramah is absolutely, it goes against the Darkei Moshe, because the Darkei Moshe says, I consider it a klisheni for here and ivory for this. Okay, but for the Ramah, the Yad Yehuda says no. It's totally no bliya. But the be'en needs klipa. Whoever heard of the klipa for a be'en? Ah, when something falls onto cooked foods, maybe it'll get absorbed to the klipa. Okay, that's it's still a bit of an extension. Just a drop will get absorbed to the klipa, even though it's not a lot of liquid. But it could be. So that's, again, goes against the Darkei Moshe. But it makes sense. So that's a third way to understand the Ramah. So Halacha L'maisa, why is Ramah Mechalik either, like Yad Yehuda and Yad Asher, that it's really never a bliya, but the be'en needs a klipa? Or that somehow he's not 100% sure if this causes a bleed to the klipa or not. So he's makel by pots, which are hard and which are paint the kasher, and makel by food, which is soft and which is also very easy to just take a little skin off. And then the last thing he says is v'imloha yamachal b'kdeira hakoshari. If there is no food in the kdeira, everything's mutter. Rabbi Kishtei Kdeira is noted to the Zuni. I take off a hot chicken soup cover and I put it down on an empty milchi pot, then everything's mutter. Because it's just two kederos that touch each other, they can't ask for each other. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Eger has a little trouble figuring out what's going on in this Ramah. Says, hold on a second. He's not teaching us anything new. He just told us the food is also gonna be klipa and the pot is mutter. So obviously if there's no food, the pot is mutter. He already told us the pot is mutter. So why does he have to tell us again the pot is mutter? That seems like a good kasha. So maybe Rabbi Akiva Eger doesn't love this suggestion. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says maybe you have to say the Ramah is referring to something else here. Most of them agree. He's not referring to Chama Gavitzonim. He already told us the Kedera is mutter there. He says even if you put a hot cover on a hot pot, if it's empty, then it'll all be mutter.
But then he asks, but why? If you put a hot cover on a hot pot and there's little drops on it,
then everything's hot. And if everything's hot, then no tatari loy. If everything's hot, then it's all cham, and the drops should aser the drops on the cover should aser the pot. So I think what you might have to say, even those little dochuk, is what the Berhetev seems to assume. I think that's his lashon. Berhetev here says in Sivkot and Zayin, Dimlohi machal b'shneihem. Maybe it means you put a hot fleshy cover in a hot milky pot, and there wasn't food in either of them. So there's no drops on the cover, and there's no food in the pot. It's mamish, in as if there's no food under the cover, there's no drops on it. What? Vimloya machal bik dera. The Berhetev doesn't say that. He says, Vimloya machal b'shneihem. He says in the third line of Sukkot and Vav. Oh, but I hear that. It's a bit of a strange pshat. See, Ramas is saying, Loya machal bik dera, but then I'm a little stuck. There was just no food in the kedera, but there was drops on the cover. Then we marashach. If it's chaman tzonein, he already told us there's no pliya into the pot. And if it's chaman chan, there should be a pliya into the pot. So, might be a little bit of a tzarchi on what he means. Either you have to take his lashon a little davka, or it's a tzarchi. Any other questions on the Rebbe? This probably actually comes up, that people sometimes put the wrong cover on the wrong pot. Usually it's sonein on tacham. But sometimes the other combinations can happen also. The last thing we want to discuss is just this long Taz. And the Taz deals, and I don't want to go too long. I don't want to go more than another few minutes. But the Taz deals, the first thing it deals with the Rashba. The Torah quoted, we all have to cause this Rashba. The famous sheet of the Rashba, what's the sheet of the Rashba? That if you have a fleshy pot and you... What's the Rashba sheet? You have a fleshy pot... And you cook... No, that's the Itter's application. The Rashba was a normal person. What was his case? You have a fleshik pot and you cook parib. That kashers out the fleshik. He says, even though we don't assume that cooking is kashering, right? No one says every time you cook, you kasher. For trade, he says, look, this is the difference between surabala and heterabala. Where does he get this idea from? Not barnat. Right? A secondary taste of heter is okay. A secondary taste of isser is not. Why? Either it exists or it doesn't. The answer is it exists, but it's very weak. So the taste of Isra, as long as it exists, is Usra. Taste of Heter, if it's very weak, it still exists, but it's too weak to become Usra. A very weak taste can't make an Isra. It can keep the Isra. If you have a very weak taste of pork, that keeps the Isra of pork. But if you have a very weak taste of milk, that's not going to cause an Isra of Basar B'chalav. A very weak taste cannot create an Isra. So that's why we have a principle of a very weak taste of Heter doesn't count to make an Isser. That's the idea of not barnat, right? If I cook, if I have a secondary taste of meat and I mix it with milk, that's okay. Because the weak taste of heter is not going to be a foundation upon which to build an Isser. A weak taste of Isser is still Isser. But a weak taste of heter, you can't build off. So likewise here, if I have a treif pot and I cook parv in it, that doesn't kasher the pot. But if I have a fleishik pot and I cook parv in it, what that does is it takes out most of the flesh taste. There's only a little meat taste left in the pot. That's only a time called, it's only a weak taste. If it's only a weak taste, then that's not going to be a problem with Basar B'chalav. A weak taste of heter is never going to be a building block for an isser. And therefore, the pot's now parved and I can use it for anything I want. I can use it for milk, I can use it for anything I want. Cooking parved in a fleshy pot, kash makes the pot parved. Even though it has a little meat left, we don't care. Cooking parv in a milky pot makes the pot parv. That's the cool of the Rashba. Why didn't we see this quote in the Shulchan Aruch here? Because the Beis Yosef rejects the Rashba. Where did the Rashba? Now, the truth is that the Taz of Harichos and likewise everyone else about how to be Miyashev, the Torah, how come he accepts the Rashba and rejects the Itter, how come he accepts the Rashba and quotes the Sefer Trumos and Siman Tzadi Dalet. We won't go through all that. We'll just make one or two quick points. what the Makar Rashba? What famous sugi is the Makar of the Rashba? Kachim, Avodah Zarah Defayim Vavim Aleph, or also comes up in Zvachim. What's the phrase? They ask, how can we just keep using the same equipment to cook Kachim in the Beis HaMikdash? After all, the taste will become nosar. Right? At home, I can use the same thing always for meat, and the same thing for milk, and the same thing for truma, and the same thing, etc. Because there's no nosar. But there's a mikdash. Every time I use a spit or a pot to cook karbanos, that taste becomes nosar. So how can I do that? So they have this idea, kol yom nase giol lechaver. That's also, you're all taking a test tomorrow, right? Isur bala ter bala comes from that gemara. Because that gemara, the first thing it says in that gemara is that you can do hag'olah on the spit of kachim. What's wrong with that? Spit is, it's a shmishol idiol, it means liba. He says, no, it's heter bala, so hag'olah is good enough. So, in the course of that, they go further. Not only is hag'olah good enough for the spit, cooking on the spit is good enough to kasher the spit. And cooking on the pot is good enough to kasher the pot. Why? Let's say you have something used for shlomim. Every day you cook shlomim. Why is it not a problem? Because today I cook shlomim. Sunday I cook shlomim. On Monday I cook new shlomim, and that kasher is Sunday shlomim. And on Tuesday I cook new shlomim, and that kasher is Monday shlomim. So it never had a too big old taste to become kasher. They say, even for a chatas, they always cook chatas in the morning and shlomim is in the afternoon. So Monday morning I cook chatas. But Monday afternoon, I cook shlomim, and that kash was at the chatas. So by the next day, there's no nusar. But the ma'isa kol yom nase giol like hagala v'chaveru. Every day is a hagala for the previous day. So the rabbi says, "Look, them a first sugya. Every day is a hagala for the previous day." What? Well, for the spits, it was every day was the liban for the last day, and for the pots, every day was the hagala for the previous day, or for that day. So the Rashi says, look, it's a mafur sugya, and kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro. Okay, the Gemara leaves it a little bit bakashi. You have to look at the sugya. It's not so pasha. The question is, do we paskin like that idea or not? So the Rashi says, kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro, and therefore, anytime you have a tira bala and you cook in it, that's considered a hagoa. Even if you're not mocking on the rules of Haggadah, right? Every time I cook, I'm not mocking to do it according to all the rules of Haggadah. But kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro. The Beis Yosef rejects that. He says, no, that's a special kula in kachim. Often we have chumras in kachim. This is a kula in kachim. Since all kachim are min b'mino anyway, and midar rice than bat of a robe, then there's always more animal than spit, and there's always more animal than pot. So therefore, there were a special kula d'rabban. So that's the basic machlokas. The Rash beholds kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro, and likewise, for meat and milk, cooking karev kashers the pot from hetera, because it only leaves a little, which is not a problem if it's a hetera bala that's a very small, weak taste left. The Beis Yosef rejects him. That's why the Shulchan Aruch, the Machaber, they don't bring him down. They assume that's only a special kula by kachim, and we don't look like that kula. The Shach. And the Nekudat Zekesev here actually says Avad to the Rashba is right. If you actually look, he points out, if you read the Rishonim carefully, they actually do agree with the Rashba, unlike what Beis Yosef says. For sure the Rashba is right, for sure we hold Kol Yom Nasa Giol Lachaveiro, but, and here's where the Shach is sort of ruins his Kula. He says, for sure the Rashba is right, it's a Mefurish Gemara, we have to hold like that Gemara, Kol Yom Nasa Giol Lachaveiro. But maybe that's only talking about where you actually filled it with water and boiled it and did a kultura of alakabal. Maybe kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro, but not because we're makel that you don't need a real hagala, you just need cooking. Maybe that's because in the mikdash they always use the cook in a way that counts as a hagala. What do you have to do to count as a hagala? Well, according to the way we possibly say, you have to fill up a pot with water. And you have to boil it until it boils. It's not so hard, you don't do so many things. So in the mikdash, kol yom nasa giol lachaveiro, we do paskin like it. But it was an actual Haggadah. What? Our minhag is that it has to be Einu Ben Yomo. But really, for Heter Bala, it doesn't have to be Einu Ben Yomo, because why does it have to be Einu Ben Yomo? Because then the taste will come out and go back in. For Heter Bala, that would be not bar not. It would be okay. So, Me'ikardin. Our Mishnah writes to Pesach, right? I'll be minhag, but we should only cast for Einu Ben Yomo, just so not to be confused with all the details. No, don't worry your head with all the details. But Medina. And for Heter Bala, you don't need to wait till it's in a video. Because it'll become not bar not. Yeah, as long as it's a Heter Bala. Yeah, that, sure, as long as it's a Heter Bala. A Surah Bala is already a different story. Once it's no sir, there's no kudos and kash for it. Taka, what do they do about Shabbos in the basic English? What? No, I mean, what are they doing? If every day is kasher the previous day, what about Shabbos? They didn't cook on Shabbos. All right. I don't know. It's Arachim. I just thought of that now. I don't know. I'm sure the Mepharshim must deal with it. Right, because then Fridays would become Nosar, and then Sunday it's too late to kasher it. Because it's already Nosar. All right. I'm sure there must be a good explanation. I guess maybe on Friday afternoons they did some sort of kashering. I don't know.
Cook on Friday for Shabbos.
What?
I cook on Friday for Shabbos.
Maybe. anyway, the idea, yeah, maybe that's true. Every Friday noon, after they cooked all the garbanos, they would cook some vegetables for Shabbos, and that would take care of it. Who knows?
Is there any particular
There actually is, but in any case, Midor Abanan, we aren't going to be that it is us for kasher on Shabbos. Not for me, it's Yontif, right? We don't kasher on Yontif, but in any case, on Shabbos, we can't do it. Because it's an Issa D'Oraisa of Bishop. Okay, getting back to this, Halacha L'maaseh, the Shach totally agrees with the Rashba. However, he says maybe the Rashba didn't really mean to say Kula. He just meant to say, because they would do it in accordance with the rules of Hagala. He's misupin about that. So Halacha L'maaseh, we don't rely on the Rashba. Either we don't rely on the Rashba because the Beis Yosef, Shabbat, Ramah, reject the Rashba because we don't pass it like him. That's only a special cooling function. Or we don't pass like the Rashba, because the Shach is Mesupak, then Akudas Akas, who says, maybe we do pass like the Rashba, but he actually didn't mean to tell us any kulas. He just meant to tell us that if you cook vegetables and fill up the whole pot and boil the water till it bubbles and do a full Haggadah, it's Mutter. In which case, he hasn't really told us much of a Chiddush. Oh, we assume you don't have to kasher the outside of the pot. Because just like the bliyas went into the outside from the inside, likewise the kasher will go from the inside. But in a chanami, if I spill treif on the outside of the pot, then I have to kasher the outside of the pot. But if all I did is cook treif inside, then it's enough to kasher from the inside. And kabolo, just like it went all the way through, it'll go all the way through.
Do we eat the vegetables?
Well, certainly here they were just, it was just in fleshik pot, or a milchik pot, so the vegetables.
You can't use the water that you use for a gala.
No, that's if you magala treif clean. But over here, it was all kosher kalim.
You
right?
Nothing.
So you just might eat those vegetables with milchik, depending on your shita.
But if you have any, you might be able to.
Yeah, certainly make her a dinner can. Yeah, but here it's a kosher clean. The only reason we don't use the agala water is because it's from a treif clean. But in all these cases, the Gemara and the Rashba are only kosher kalim. So for sure you can use the agala water. Worst comes to worst, it's a little fleshik. You know, it has a little fleshikness to it. No big deal. So that's as far as the Rashba. The Halacha L'maaseh, again, we don't rely on the cool of the Rashba, and the Nekudas HaKesef even goes as far as to say maybe we do agree with the Rashba, but he didn't mean to tell us a cool one. All he meant to tell us is that, Hetera Bala, and even if this pot was used for roasting, if you do a bow at Hagolah by cooking vegetables, that'll kasher it. Which is something we already knew, that in Hetera Bala, you can use Hagolah instead of Liban. The last thing Taz discusses here is the famous Kula, the Diak of the Riha Lavan. The Riha Lavan said there was once a guy who left the milk all night in his pot and then cooked meat in it. And on Makel, but the pot is not milchik. Meaning it was a milchik pot for a long time ago, maybe, or maybe it wasn't. I don't know. On Makel, the pot is not milchik because the pot was already full of bleas and it couldn't be bolei anymore. Right? It's based on the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, about Yayin Nesech. If you have cups or pitchers that you already use as jugs many times, then it's not going to be bolei any Yayin Nesech. So, he was Mako, but we all love him as Mako, that this pot did not absorb the milk, so it was already full of bleas and had no more room to absorb anything, because you had used it many times before. Okay, so what does this kula mean? This is a machlokis achronim. The Taz and the Marshal, well, first let's take the Shita we don't pass on. The Lavush and the Bach say this is teaching us a big kula, that even if you go kovish causes a blia, even though kovish will absorb a taste into a kli, but if the kli is already full of blias, then kovish will not affect it. So even though this guy left milk in the pot for 24 hours, the pot did not become milk because it was full of blias. This is a big kula. Right, no kli can ever become kavush and absorb anything if it's already been used a few times. Okay? So if you have a pitcher and you keep water in it a lot, and one day you keep milk in there for a week, won't become milk because it's already full of kli. That's the Levush and the Bach's version.
However, we do not postulate like them. We postulate the Taz's version. We also go to Marshal, the Kruzza Kesem in the bottom of Greece, and the Taz, the Shach, the Marshal disagree, and they say no. In Kavosh, even if it's full of Blius, it'll become Melchik. Why? If this pitcher is full of water Blius, how can Kavosh make it Melchik? And therefore, but still, how could it absorb milk that's full of Blius? Because the Blius that are in it will go out, and the new Blius will go in. Isn't that what Bishul does? It changes the case in both ways. So Kavosh, of course, can add new Blius. Because even if it's full, it switches. What is the real love referring to? The real love is referring to a special chumra of Klicheris. Klicheris can absorb even less than 24 hours. Special chumra, even though it's not kilovushal. Klicheris is so porous, it absorbs in less than 24 hours. It absorbs in only 12 hours overnight. They say the real Lovin's case is overnight. That's what we need. We need Klicheris can absorb in 12 hours, but if it's full, then it can't absorb in less than 24 hours. So really, this real Lovin is not talking about Kavosh. Kavosh will always put Asim or Kli, or make it Melchik or whatever. He was talking about a special din in Klicheris that's Olea in less than 24 hours. And that special din only applies the first few times, but afterwards it's already full and can't be Olea in less than 24 hours. That is how we paskin. This probably sounds familiar to us because it was Sukkam by the Prima Gadol in the beginning of Simchat Torah, but this is where he summarized it from. So we paskin like the Taz and the Shach and the Marshal that Kavosh will always come to lead to a Kli. There's no fullness. But for the special rule that a Kli Cheres absorbs in 12 hours, that only applies the first few times, but after that, we say it's already full of Blias, and it will not absorb unless you let it sit for 24 hours. Okay, that's more detail we can go into, but that's the basic summary of the halacha lemasa. Any questions? Not so bad. I skipped a lot. The chinah, as was pointed out to me last time.